cost of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six color tricks at Walt Disney World. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 22 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of May 24th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please stick around until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. There are many things that the Walt Disney Company does with excellence when it comes to designing and operating theme parks. All of the pieces need to come together, and some of those pieces are done so expertly, so effectively, and with so much planning and careful thought that you can see them everywhere, but never directly notice them. Still, they're critical to the overall Disney experience. And one area like this is the use of color, and specifically some of the tricks and design approaches that Disney uses to select and implement color throughout the parks. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who knows how Disney uses color. He's a treasure trove of facts about Disney and how they make magic because he used to work as an Imagineer. Brian Collins, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back.
I'm looking forward to our conversation, and I appreciate you returning. And I think this topic's a very interesting one. I think a lot of folks are going to learn some new information in this show today.
You know, I still learn stuff all the time about this kind of thing. It just amazes me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. It, you know, it's kind of fun, too, when you actually know it, and then you go out to the parks and you see it, and it's like, wow, that really does kind of make sense why they did this.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic. And actually, before we get into the topic, I'd like to start up with our traditional warm-up question. It's easy. Are you ready?
Fire away.
All right. Big Thunder Mountain or Space Mountain?
Oh, my gosh. Do I have to pick one?
There's no law, but it would be nice.
You know, ever since I was a kid, I've loved Space Mountain. There's just something about being indoors there. Going through the coaster in the dark, you know, the pre-ride blasting off through that tunnel. I don't know. I think I'm gonna. But I don't know. The theming at Thunder Mountain is so amazing. That's a tough. I'm gonna have to go with Space Mountain though.
All right.
Go with my childhood memories.
I'm going to vote with you on that one. I am a huge fan of both of them. I love the colors and the story and the detail in Big Thunder Mountain. But there is something nostalgic and more when it comes to Space Mountain. Even though I got to say it's a little harder on my back now that I'm no longer a youngster, it's still a fun ride.
So, and I'll debunk a myth, too, a myth that a lot of people, when they look up at the ceiling and they see the giant meteors, like tumbling through space.
Yeah.
There's an urban legend, if you will, that those were chocolate chip cookies. Because if you look at them, they do kind of look like chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
But I can tell you as an Imagineer, they were not chocolate chip cookies being projected up onto the ceiling. Although I, for some reason, always get hungry when I'm standing in the queue. And I look at those. So.
You just want to shout out Chips Ahoy and,
right,
and go for a ride.
Sure.
That's good to know. Yeah. So you heard it here, folks. Those are not chocolate chip cookies. But yeah, they do kind of look like it. I've got to say, they do.
Yeah.
All right. Today, we're going to talk about the top six color tricks at Walt Disney World. And number one, Brian, is over to you.
Okay. So here's one that I always thought was really cool. If you go into the Magic Kingdom, y'all notice that a lot of the sidewalks in the ground areas are painted red or tinted red. And the reason that they did that, there are actually a few reasons. One is that red stays a little bit cooler, but one of the, from a color perspective, the reason that Disney has a lot of red sidewalks is because that red offsets the green of the trees and the grass. And it makes that green look a lot more vibrant and, you know, colorful. If you think about it, red and green are complementary, what they call complementary colors. So, like, if you ever go into, like, the butcher, for example, the meat market, they'll sometimes take a piece of that green parsley and stick it on top of the steak to make that steak look nice and red and, you know, bring out that color. It's the same exact theory. So that is why you'll see a lot of red sidewalks, to kind of make all that greenery kind of pop that much more.
Very interesting. You know, I never thought about it from the butcher case perspective, but I remember, maybe not so much these days, but a long time ago, they would have some little fake grass, plastic grass that would be on the edge of the case, and it really did offset the color of the meat. And I guess in the same way, the red color in the sidewalks offsets the grass in the parks. That's very interesting. I've also heard that the sidewalks, the coloring on the sidewalks, only happens in guest areas, and it doesn't happen in the backstage areas because it costs a little bit more and there's no need to make it red back there.
Correct. Yeah. That's true. What they call on stage.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yes, theories are all on stage. Yeah.
Good. All right. Red sidewalks. Number one. Excellent. Number two is over to me. So I'm going to talk about something that I saw with my own eyes, and I'm actually going to post a photo of this in the show notes for this podcast, and I'll talk about the link to that later on. But I was at the Magic Kingdom one time when they were working on refurbishing Cinderella Castle, which seems to happen a couple times a year these days. And I saw the turrets, and the turrets were no longer the deep blue vibrant color that they normally were. They were silver. And I thought, what is going on here? Is Frozen taking over Cinderella Castle? But it turns out that silver was just there as a priming coat. And I spoke with someone who understands professional painting. And they said that oftentimes painters will put down a silver color if they're trying to get a deep and vibrant color on top of it. So the people who were doing the painting put down the silver on the castle turrets first, and then put on top the blue color so that the blue pops even more than it would otherwise. And so if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes and taken a photo of it, I might not have known it. But underneath the blue of the Cinderella Castle turrets is silver.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting on how the application process got that color. So that's number two, the silver paint on the turrets of Cinderella Castle. Number three, Brian, back over to you.
All right, so here's one from Epcot Center. You know, when Walt Disney was building his first theme park, Disneyland, his first Imagineers, these were all guys that came from Walt's movie studios, his animators. I mean, he was doing something that had never been done before. Theme park had never been created before. And when they were designing buildings and attractions and stories, they were using techniques that they knew from working in the movies. One of the guys, and I talked about him in my first podcast with you, was a guy by the name of John Hinch. John was an animator. I believe he did Bambi. He did Fantasia. Lots of the Disney classic movies. And John's expertise was understanding color, how to use color. And as any good artist knows, when you're painting a painting, if you want to create the illusion of depth or something being far away or height, then you make those background colors or those higher colors darker. And as you make them darker, the images start to recede in the background. Well, John understood that and took that principle when he was consulting on Epcot. And one place where you can see this in action is the American Adventure Pavilion, which is designed to look like an old, kind of like Philadelphia Hall, maybe. And when you look at it, it's a very majestic looking building that looks very, very tall. American Adventure is only two or maybe three stories tall, at most, but the way that they get the illusion of that building being so much higher than it is they actually have three different shades of white that they use to paint the exterior of the building. So the base of it is a much brighter, wider white. And then as you get higher and higher up to the top of the building, the whites get a little bit more progressively dark, more gray, more dark as they go higher. And by darkening those shades of white, it gives the illusion of extra height in the building. And this is a technique that is used in other, you know, buildings and attractions throughout the parks as well. But that's probably one of the best places to see it.
Interesting. I've heard about concepts of forced perspective with Cinderella Castle and in Main Street USA, but I never thought about the use of color to change the proportions of how something appears. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, number four is back over to me, and I'm going to talk about a special flavor of green. I think Disney does a very nice job of keeping the backstage things away from the eyes of guests, but sometimes there are buildings that you still might be able to see, even though Disney doesn't necessarily want to show them off to the public. So service buildings, that sort of thing. And I understand that Disney has a special color of green they call no-see-um green, a particular shade that makes sure that it helps the building to blend in the background so that it doesn't really stick out, and it hides it as much as possible, even though it's still there.
No-see-um green is actually, I guess, a family of shades. It's not really a specific color of green, but it's a family of greens, and it's basically this color of green. They've been able to actually determine it's, I guess, the least perceptual, or the color that people are least apt to notice when they're in the parks. I mean, they're constantly surrounded by all kinds of other colors and stuff. So this green just kind of becomes almost like an afterthought subconsciously when you're looking at it. So, yeah, absolutely. The backs of many of the facades and the backstage areas of many of the buildings are painted in no-see-um green. Yeah.
Very interesting. No-see-um
and,
green.
And to make it, and actually, you know, just to kind of tell you a little, another little kind of trick with that is that in California, for example, the no-see-um greens that they use are going to be a different shade of the no-see-um greens that they use in Florida, because the atmosphere, the smog or whatever it may be, dictates that they use maybe a little bit more blue in the greens, for example, to help it fade, you know, into the background a little bit more. The other thing with green, too, is obviously is it blends in with the surrounding berms and trees, which are often used as natural screens within the park to keep people from seeing, you know, outside the park. So, you know, if you had something that was bright orange, a building bright orange behind the green, that would, you know, be very, very obvious. The no-see-um green helps kind of blend in with that foliage and in those natural berms that are planted on the perimeters.
Yeah, very, very interesting and very smart way to camouflage things.
Yeah.
Good. All right, number five is over to you.
Number five. Okay, so this kind of, you know, I guess maybe expands on that, but as I was saying, there are lots of different vibrant colors in the parks. And going back into the Magic Kingdom, if you think about it, this is something that probably makes sense once you hear it, but again, a lot of the guests don't stop to really kind of think about it, and they shouldn't. But each of the lands actually has their own color palette assigned to them. So, for example, if you go into Fantasyland, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of maybe like silvers and whites, futuristic type colors. You go into Adventureland, and it's mostly earth tones. You know, you're on Main Street or you're in Fantasyland, and you're going to see more of the primary colors or the bright colors. Again, you know, it's the kind of thing where it makes perfect sense when you stop to think about it, but most people just don't stop to think about it.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And someone took the time to select those palettes and make sure that they were all implemented in a consistent way. It's part of the detail that comes together to make Walt Disney World a very special place.
Yeah, and it's not just the paints, you know, it's in the flowers that they pick, the landscaping, it's in the furniture, you know, and the accoutrements out there, you know, the fixtures, all of that stuff has got their own, you know, very definite and well thought out color palettes that are assigned to that land.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's something that doesn't jump out at you, but it really shouldn't. It, like you said, it's one of those things that blends into the background and just makes a part of the overall experience. Good. Well, number six is over to me.
And bring it on, number six.
All right, number six. It's actually going to build on what you said with color palettes. And it's something I hadn't really thought about until recently. And it's the fact that some of those color palettes actually change pretty dramatically over time. And the biggest, most dramatic change that I could point to would be Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom. So if we rewind back to 1971, the colors there were soft blues and white. It was very modern. It was very retro.
Yep.
And things changed over time. You fast forward to the 90s, and all of a sudden, it's not all just white and blue, but all of a sudden, you're getting bright colors, bright red, bright yellow, bright blue. And as you proceed through the 90s, and Disney reworks Tomorrowland to be a spaceport, there's more of a metallic look and new darker blues and purples, which you can see now. Some of these new colors in the painting scheme of the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, where there are really deep blue and orange colors. So it's interesting to see how the color palettes of Tomorrowland have changed from this very soft white and blue in the beginning now to these metallic colors and very bold colors, just a dramatic change in the colors and really a change to the feel of that area. Another spot where I've noticed that has taken place is at Epcot with Innovations. So I've got plenty of pictures of the Innovations building being sort of this bland tan color. And not so long ago, there was a dramatic change in the color scheme there. Now there are these really bold blue colors and green colors, stripes of brown. And Disney's something that's not a museum. It changes all the time. So we see it in many ways in attractions coming and going, but we can even see it in just the color palettes that are selected for some of the areas, which can change pretty dramatically over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've spent many time in the WDI offices looking at color chips and paint colors and things of that nature. A lot of times when I was working as a show writer, a big part of my job was writing copy and stuff for different signs that would be in the different parks and different lands. And, looking at the thought that went into some of those, what you would think would be simple decisions, you know, should we pick this green or this orange or this brown?
Mm.
So much thought goes into that by the color designers and the Imagineers that specialize in that stuff. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree. It's really all of those little extra touches that make things special and work together.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, we've made it through the list of the top six color tricks at Walt Disney World. Number one, sidewalks are red. Number two, the silver paint on the turrets of Cinderella Castle. Number three, the colors on the outside of the American Adventure. Number four, the family of no-see-um greens. Number five, the fact that each land in the Magic Kingdom has a color palette. And number six, that sometimes those color palettes change and pretty dramatically. Fun list. Good.
Again, you know, kind of thing that a lot of people don't stop to think about, but it's all about telling the story, presenting it in a way that people shouldn't stop and go, well, that's like so obvious or standing out, you know, and screaming in their face, just kind of immersing them in the environment.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, thanks for going through that list with me. So can you tell us about what you're up to these days and how people can get in touch with you?
Sure. I'd love to have people come visit my website, WDWithMe.com. And I've got, you know, some fun blogs on there. I've got links to your podcast and some others. So please come visit me or follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at WD with me, Brian. I've got a Facebook page. So please go to my Facebook page and like me, because I like to be liked. and leave me some comments if you feel inclined to do so. And I'm out there. Come find me. Love to hear from you guys.
All right. Very good. Brian, this was a great topic today. I really enjoyed this one. And thanks for joining me on the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Herb. Anytime.
Thank you. Well, we've made it through the list of the top 6 color tricks at Walt Disney World, but our conversation isn't over. I would love to hear what you think about our list. Do you have some ideas or something you'd like to add? You can do that. Check out the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/22 or worldofwalt.com/color tricks. Both of those links go to the same spot, and it works great on smartphones, desktops, and tablets. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, it would be awesome if you would rate and review it on iTunes for me. You can get easy-to-follow instructions on how to do just that at worldofwalt.com/iTunes. Also, I'd like to stay in touch. Let me know what you think about today's show, or just stop by and say hi. There are 4 easy ways to get in touch with me. Number 1, send an email, info@worldofwalt.com. Number 2, leave a voicemail message for me using your phone, 407-391-5023. Number 3, leave an online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail, or check me out in social media. On Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/worldofwalt, and on Pinterest, I'm at pinterest.com/worldofwalt. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the folks who listen to this podcast and visit the show notes page. Again, please head over to the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/22, where you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. To wrap up today, I would like to give a huge thank you to you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com website, where you can find Disney articles, enter sweepstakes, and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the comments sections and in the forum. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.